It's time to awaken to your ultimate potential.
Always something to learn.
The more real and truthful you can get with yourself, the happier you're going to be.
Nothing happens in a comfort zone.
There are no set rules on how to attain success and to feel fulfilled.
Each one of us are born with a purpose.
For me, I knew there was something bigger.
You don't conquer the mountain, you conquer yourself.
I'm Crystal Bauer, wellness expert and entrepreneur. Each week, I'm speaking with incredible individuals, inspiring you to awaken your ultimate potential. Welcome to the Live Greatly podcast.
I'm so excited. We have a really wonderful guest today, Leslie Eccles. And Leslie is the founder and CEO of Hello Relish, a relationship coaching company with an award-winning coaching and self-care app called Relish. Relish is the first ever truly customized relationship training app that gives users unlimited access to a qualified relationship coach combined with an actionable, interactive, and scientifically backed relationship training plan that actually adapts over time. And the app has been recognized as Apple's App of the Day 3 times and featured in Well and Good, Fast Company, Inc., and more. And Leslie is a serial entrepreneur and startup advisor. She was previously co-founder and former head of marketing at FanDuel, the fantasy sports company, which she grew into a $1 billion company. So welcome, Leslie. Thanks so much for being here today.
Hi, Crystal. It's great to see you and great to be here.
Yeah, I'm so excited to, you know, we have chatted before and I'm excited to go a little deeper into our conversation today, but I was hoping that you might start out by just sharing how you went from being with FanDuel and kind of, you know, helping build this $1 billion company to now, you know, having this relationship company, because that's obviously, it's two totally different, or it seems like two totally different worlds there. So I would love for you to give the audience a little bit of insight into how that all happened.
Yeah, it's quite a change, right? FanDuel was primarily a product for men, and yeah, I think 95% of our customers were male. And I left there in 2017, having spent about 10 years building the company from the ground up. And when I left, I had about 2 or 3 months of reflection time and feeling like, well, what am I going to spend the next 10 years of my life building? And I knew that if I was going to jump back in, that whatever it was I was going to do next would have to be as impactful as FanDuel had been. FanDuel literally paved the way for sports betting to be legalized. We changed the way millions of people experience sports, and is basically a household name, particularly amongst sports fans. And so I thought, well, I know what it takes to build a company from the ground up. I know what it takes to run a startup. If I'm going to invest so much of me and so much of my life into something new, I want it to be meaningful and I want it to be a lot more mission driven than sports betting. And at the time I'd had this sort of 10 years experience of a roller coaster ride in building the company. There really was massive highs and massive lows in those 10 years. And the thing that I realized during those self-reflective months, if you like, was that it was the relationships that I had with other people that I was working with, and my husband and my family and my friends. It was those relationships that kept me strong and kept me going throughout everything. Mm-hmm. And I started to wonder about, well, if this, if everything that I've learned about building a technology company, if I can take that and use it to help people build strong connections with each other, surely that's a good thing to spend the next 10 years of my life doing. Mm-hmm. And that was my jumping off point. And you know, I've been in therapy before, and what I found was that whenever you're in the session, it's great and you're connecting with your therapist and you understand what they're telling you, and you're enjoying listening to all the different theories that they're giving you. And they set you some homework, and you leave with maybe your folder full of notes or whatever. And then you forget about what you've learned and or not learned, and you forget to do your homework, and you turn up the following week feeling incredibly guilty and for not having done your homework. And, you know, people that who are marriage therapists will tell you going to marriage therapy is often described as worse than going to the dentist. So it's just a really unpleasant experience for a lot of people. So I wondered whether there was a way that we could recreate the experience in a much more positive way and change our concept of getting help in your relationship to actually, let's start investing in our relationship now before it gets to the point of no return. So many people leave it far too late to get help, that by the time they reach out to a therapist for help, they've already separated, or one person has one foot out the door, or this is a last ditch attempt to save things before divorce to prove that you've done it all. So can we reimagine almost how we think about our relationships and flip the switch from let's fix this thing that's broken to let's think about investing in our relationship over the long term to make sure that it's as healthy as it can be to navigate life's roller coaster with all those ups and downs that you go through in life. And the older you get, the more of them that seem to come in your direction, to make sure that our relationships are sound and healthy and strong so that we can last the distance.
Yeah, that's wonderful. And I think the idea of being proactive is really wise. And sometimes, you know, especially when you're with someone for a long time, you can get into the habit of just taking them for granted. You forget, you know, sometimes how a marriage, like it takes effort and work to keep things really, you know, on the up and up, and to be able to go through life's ups and downs together. So I'm curious, as you know, you are a mother, you're also an entrepreneur, you have a business, you're doing so many things. So what do you do personally that you have found helpful for you in your relationships and marriage?
Mm-hmm. Well, what's particularly interesting about our relationship is we were co-founders of FanDuel. So we built the company together, and going through an experience like that, you can imagine, does place a certain amount of pressure on you as a couple. Mm-hmm. So I think that served as a really good foundation for us in terms of dealing with stress and pressure. And some of the little things that we used to do when we were going through that period would be like, you know, we would have rules around, we don't talk about work in bed, or, you know, we don't check email before breakfast time. And we would have little rules like that, which we were not always great at following, but we certainly tried. And then, you know, as our kids grew older, we made a point of always having a date night every week. Just making that little bit extra effort and being aware that either one of us could choose to leave at any point. Like, we are here through choice. We don't have to stay married to each other. We don't have to stay together. Modern relationships, we're lucky. We have choices nowadays. That wasn't the case in my parents' generation. But now we can choose. And the question is, do you choose to show up as your best self? Mm-hmm. And that's something that Relish really helps with. And you know, I think during COVID it's particularly difficult to show up as your best self, because you're in your sweats, you've given up wearing makeup in some of our cases, and you know, it's easy just to slide into lethargy in your relationship, as well as, you know, your body and your, the way that you're living, because we're so closeted indoors, it's difficult to remember how important this relationship is and remember to connect.
So the connection, you know, I think that's something everyone's craving right now, probably more than ever with COVID and the lack of interaction and get-togethers. And I think for some people, you know, it probably has brought them closer together. And then for other relationships and other marriages, you know, it maybe has brought people further apart. So I'm wondering what thoughts you may have on how people can connect right now with COVID. So wondering what your thoughts are on that.
Yeah, it's interesting you say that because we actually just did a survey of 1,700 adults in long-term relationships. And we asked them how COVID had treated their relationship and what's that looked like for them. And about 30% of people actually said that their relationships are better than ever because of COVID. They're spending more time together. They're appreciating the other person's daily life more. So that, and there's more support as well. You're forced to support each other because you're all each other has. And you don't have all those other connections outside the home necessarily. So, you know, things that are important are things like rituals. So one thing that I do with my husband is at dinner time when we're making dinner, we'll have a cocktail together. Now it's just like Sprite and raspberry juice or something, but it's like, it's cocktail hour. And, you know, we make an effort and we cheers each other. And so that's a kind of a nice ritual that we have. And there's so many little things like that that you can inject into your relationship just to keep it fun when it does feel like a lot of fun has gone from our lives because of COVID. Things like, you know, you might just take a moment to text each other, even though you're in separate rooms. You know, you might be working from home. You can still text each other and just say something nice. Or, you know, if my husband was wearing a different t-shirt the other day and I'm like, oh, that looks great on you. It's just little things that can make all the difference to make each other feel that little bit more positive during the day. And just to remind each other that that you're more than just roommates. Navigating this crazy life together. One of the well-known relationship scientists is John Gottman, and he propounds that every morning you kiss, and then in the evening you connect again. So it's morning and evening, and you know, if somebody leaves the house, if any of us ever leave the house, when you come back, there's a moment of connection. So we've basically taken all these different theories of relationships and created therapeutic lessons within the app, which we then will give you dependent on the state of your relationship.
So is this something that one person in marriage would do, or do you recommend that both parties do together? Or how is that?
We do recommend that you do it together. You don't have to. There's an option to do it by yourself. But to a certain extent, knowing that your partner is doing it as well is enough to make you appreciate them more. Mm-hmm. So it's almost psychological. If I know my partner is making an effort through doing this program, that makes me feel better about them because it makes me think that they're investing in our relationship. Mm-hmm. But not everyone's in a situation like that. Some people need to do the work by themselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, those are all really, really great points. You know, I haven't read this book. I'm trying to remember the name of it, but it's about the different ways that people feel loved, like that people experience love, some through words, some through gifts. Yes. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I think you're meaning Gary Chapman's Love Languages.
Yes. Yeah. So I'm wondering if you have found any, you know, research on that or any thoughts on that and how everybody kind of communicates or again, like I might feel loved if someone says I love you, or in someone else might feel loved, not so much from the words, but from, again, like a little gift or a text message or something.
Exactly. Yeah. The love languages theory is very well known, I would say, nowadays. And it's all to do with your natural tendency is to show love in the way that you want to receive love. And so that can often land wrong. Mm-hmm. And I'll give you a great example from my life that I didn't, I knew nothing about this until I started doing my research behind Relish. And my husband used to buy me gifts a lot. When he was traveling a lot, we were apart a lot, and he would always return with gifts. And at the time, I would look at them and think, oh, I don't need another scarf, or, you know, this is a bit of a waste of money. And it would cause arguments. And what I realized, having taken the Relish love language quiz and researching more around it, what I realized was he wants gifts. Mm. For him, me buying him something, even if it's in the airport on my way home, it's, oh, she's thinking about me. Oh, this is thoughtful. This is important to me. Whereas for me, the other love languages are much more important. Gifts would be like the last one on my list. And when I appreciated what that meant, suddenly it resolved all of our conflicts. And I was much more considerate about how I treated his gifts, and I would buy him more gifts, and you know, he also understood why they weren't meaningful to me. And so I think it's a really, really powerful approach. And we've actually built out date night suggestions around love languages, so that you can build a date night that will talk to you or talk to your partner in their love language, which is kind of cute.
That's wonderful. I think we have to start getting creative these days too. Like I love traveling, and my husband and I would always try and take little getaways here and there. And I miss that. It's like, it's trying to get creative of having that time when you have kids in the house, mm-hmm. working from home, we're not getting babysitters. Right. So not like we can be like, let's go out for date night. I love your thoughts about incorporating these like thoughtful things during the day that are outside maybe of what you're used to, you know, because I think that that's a really wonderful way to remind the person that you're with that you're thinking of them, that you love them, that they're a priority.
Right. And even I think just, you know, saying to your partner, we need a date night and it's going to be a week on Saturday. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to talk to the kids, and, you know, we're going to put a movie on for them in the other room. And the kids know that this is mom and dad's date night. And, you know, it becomes a bit of a family affair, but the kids know that they have to stay away for 2 hours or an hour or 30 minutes, you know, depending on the age of your kids. Mm-hmm. And just by making it a priority and something that you planned, that you're looking forward to, that your children are bought into, and they understand why you're asking them to stay in their room, or you understand why you're asking them to watch Frozen for the fifth time or whatever. It's important. And it's investments like that that will add together over time, mm-hmm. to keep things fresh and to keep things strong. And I think, you know, people often turn up in couples therapy with the expectation that the therapist can fix the relationship and the therapist can undo the 10 years of damage that have been done through taking each other for granted. And that's just simply not the case. It's investing small things every day that can make the difference. Mm-hmm. And even, you know, even if your relationship is in a bad place right now, you know, I have people emailing me and saying, you've literally saved my marriage, which is fabulous. And, you know, it keeps me going and keeps me working at making this company a success.
Yeah, that's wonderful. You know, I'm curious, as you're a successful woman, and how How do you think that gender roles take, I guess, have a part in communication in marriages and having a successful marriage? And I'm sure there's a lot of different things that go into this, but I think about a lot of women that I know who are working moms, who are, you know, very successful, very career driven. They're, from who I've talked to, at least, and I've gone through this myself, there's kind of that like internal battle that's gone through as far as like wanting to be home with the kids, wanting to have, be able to do all the things, I guess, a stay-at-home mom would do. And then you also want to have your career, you want to have your, you know, your mission and your purpose and all of that. So I'm just curious what your thoughts are and what you've found is for women who are business oriented or career driven and, you know, some things they might face in their marriages.
It's tough. And we all have to admit that we can't be everything and do everything. We can't, we're human. The way I think about it is we as a generation have choices. Previous generations did not have choices. We choose, and we choose how we want to spend our time. If we decide that we want to have a career as well as children, that's a choice that we've made, and we need to figure out a way to balance that. Mm-hmm. And you can't do it all by yourself. So you need to balance it with either a partner or external support, or ideally both. And this is one of the reasons that I was so passionate about building Relish in the first place, is if your partner is not as supportive as you need them to be, that's a problem. And it's no longer a partnership. And finding ways to balance career with having a family for women in particular is really difficult. So trying to make that relationship as solid as possible as a jumping off point to successfully balancing those two things was one of the reasons why I started Relish in the first place. But, you know, going back to your question, we as a gender, this is quite quite a sweeping statement, but I think we're very guilty of beating ourselves up too much. And I definitely am. I beat myself up constantly. But the first thing that you need to be aware of is that you're doing it. And I think that's one step towards solving that problem. So the first thing you need to realize is, am I being fair on myself? Am I expecting too much of myself? And then there are always shortcuts. There are ways that you can, things in the home don't have to be perfect. Mm-hmm. Does it matter that your husband put the wash on and he didn't separate the whites and the darks?
Right.
Okay, it's annoying, but, get over it. Do you get cross when somebody loads the dishwasher wrong? Yeah, maybe, but you need to figure out a way to move on from that. And to give up control and stop trying to control your children's lives and your partner's life and your work life, and admit that you can't do it all. And you'll feel a lot better for that. I once read that the happiest mothers were mothers of four or more children. Huh. And the most unhappy were three children. I have three children. And I read more about why this was. And apparently by the time you have four, you realize you can't control everything. Mm-hmm. You have to take a step back and say, I can't do all this. And that switch in mindset helps you feel less in control. Mm-hmm. Thinking that you can always be in control is the biggest barrier to our success, both our career success and our happiness, I think.
Yeah, I think that's so true. It's this idea of having to be perfect, which doesn't exist. I think it's, for me, when I was home for 6 years with my kids, then I went back to work, and it was really tough because I was still in my mind used to this stay-at-home role where I had certain expectations of myself. Like, oh, I still should be doing all the laundry. I should be doing this. I should be doing that. And, you know, my husband was extremely supportive and was like, yeah, we can delegate, you know, but it was within me. I still felt like I expected myself to be able to do what I was doing and the role. Mm-hmm. And it took me a little while to recognize that and to get comfortable with asking for help, get comfortable for, like you mentioned, like the delegation of things you're used to doing, like grocery shopping, and, you know, mm-hmm. you expect it to be done a certain way. That was a learning curve for sure. But I think in the end, it's still, I think it's like, I'm trying to get more of that work-life integration. I just was talking with someone about that recently, and I liked that word a lot. It's like less balance, more integrating into your life. And I'm still trying to fine tune that. But I think that's just part of being a mom.
Yeah. And I also think that we have to move away from this idea of work-life balance, because that assumes that work isn't part of life. Mm-hmm. And for most of us, it is such an integral part of our life that feeling guilty for working or not working is another problem that we can come up against. So I think the most important piece for moms in particular is the notion of being present. So it doesn't matter that you feel like I'm always working, or I'm always with kids, or I'm being pulled in too many directions. The important piece is what you're doing right now, you are all in on. Mm-hmm. And that might be work. It might be talking with your kids. It might be talking with your partner. It might be doing something in the home. It might be doing something completely different. But the point is, you're focused on that. You're not thinking about that problem at work, or the email that you're not sent, or, again, beating yourself up for not having done everything you thought you were going to do today. The point is, when you are with your children, you focus on them. And it's really difficult for a lot of us. I find it difficult, but I'm really conscious of it. And meditation can help. But really learning how to be present in the moment is important.
Yeah, I totally agree. You know, mindfulness practices, like you said, I think meditation is really helpful for that. Things like body scans and just like training your brain. It's like, oh, those what if thoughts, or, you know, you find your mind wandering. It's like a continual practice of just, oh, there it goes. Come back to the present moment. Using your senses, what do you see? What do you hear? What do you smell? All that to really be anchored in your body. But I'm working on that too. I think it's just a continual, you know, like it's a continual practice. And that's definitely my intention when I'm with my kids, is to be engaged and to be present. And I think that if you really can be there and enjoy those moments with your kids, it takes away, at least for me, that sense of like, oh, feeling bad about working. I don't know, because you're fully enjoying the moment. And I feel like I'm really showing up as who I want to be.
Right. And it's a great example to your children as well.
Yeah.
You know, I have a young daughter, and showing her that it is 100% normal that mommy and daddy both go to work. Mm-hmm. And it's 100% normal that mommy and daddy both do housework. And it's 100% normal that daddy does all the washing. And, you know, this is a great example to the next generation. And I think if we think of it in that wider time frame, we realize how lucky we are. And I think now in particular, the cohort of population that has been most impacted by COVID is working moms. They are leaving the workforce in droves because it's hard to juggle all of this. And I worry that we're setting ourselves back as a gender because we don't have the support that we need. And men need to realize they need to step up and take on more responsibility and take on more support if we're going to make things right for the next generation.
Yeah. I think, you know, communication and just having the awareness about these topics and being able to have those conversations with your partner is so important. And I, you know, that kind of can lead into, if people are looking for more support for their relationships, like how could they find out about Relish, learn more, sign up, you know, any other things you want to share about it as we're kind of coming towards the end here.
Yeah, you can download it in the App Store, the Google Play Store, websites, hellorelish.com. And really, you know, it's a great way of spending 5 to 10 minutes a day doing something that's going to make your relationship better or healthier or more long lasting. And you know, it sounds so corny, but we're trying to take this phrase, I hate it. It's we're working on our relationship. Honestly, if it feels like work, you're doing something wrong. So can we think about this as taking the work out of working on your relationship? We're trying to make it easy and fun and less of a stigma, and you know, just something that you do, like going to the gym or you know, eating healthily, or you know, dry January for those crazies that are trying to do that. You know, this is just something that you do to make your relationship healthy. So that's my vision.
I love it. I love it. And maybe we could close with, I would just like to ask what people's idea of success is for themselves. I'm thinking, you know, you definitely can share that if you'd like, but what do you think are the, I guess, the components to a successful, happy, healthy marriage relationship?
I think there are many, many, many components, but the first one has to be mutual respect. You both need to respect each other's choices and respect each other's viewpoint. Mm-hmm. You don't have to agree with it, but you have to respect it. So I think that's one. I think a sense of humor is incredibly important, and not taking each other too seriously. And the third one is being able to see the world from your partner's perspective. So it's, I think this is actually a key one. One of the foundational approaches that Relish is built on is the theory of attachment. And it is really about how secure you are in your relationship. So if I, for example, am more anxious, and my partner is more dismissive or withdrawing, then we're going to really struggle to see the world from each other's perspective. I can't understand why he keeps pulling away. He can't understand why I'm more needy and need more from him. So how can I see the world from his perspective, and how can he see it from my perspective? And that you can really only gain that from learning. And reading and learning about how each other operates, and asking each other questions, and you know, taking the focus away from the issue that some people want to beat about over and over again, to let's just develop an understanding. And I think those three areas are the three that I would say are the most fundamental pillars of a healthy relationship.
That's wonderful. Well, thank you so much, Leslie. This has been an incredible conversation. I'm sure a lot of people will get a lot of valuable information from it. And everyone, you know, check out Relish. And anything else you want to share before we close?
No, that's it. That's great. I really enjoyed talking with you, Crystal.
It's wonderful. Thank you so much.
Take care.
Thank you so much for tuning in to the Live Greatly podcast today. You can learn more about me and Live Greatly at www.livegreatly.co. Make sure to check out my Instagram page at livegreatly_co. And please subscribe to the podcast. Leave a review if you enjoyed it. Share it with your friends and family. And until next time, this is Crystal Bauer with Live Greatly, inspiring you to awaken your ultimate potential.